Blog Talk Radio.
On a man-made lake, there's a sheet up in ice. We're unskilled skaters, cut figure eight twice. At 16, uncut, direct from the coast. Head on assault, the result, death by the boat. In the vote, it spoke about the average lost permission that was seen by a king in a prophetic vision. Like a plane crash from a bomb blast. Special broadcast, slot time with Comcast. They kept the jury quiet, and now the riot performed. While satanic man, now hanging his dorm. I swing on you fake radio personalities, Wuxia ratings. With hikes behind casualties of five shots. With low pressure water gunplay. Instantly slap your five like it's Palm Sunday. I fashioned the first tool from the elements the earth used. And built it to a complex network of communication. You're up against a hopeless situation. I screen every vehicle through enemy observation. Swarming unpredictably. We spread terror. Increase the fog significantly. Change the era. Check my wind pattern. It's heading west. Success is freedom, but failure can mean death. Human sweat and aim shovels. Dig up debris and rubble. Permanent damage caused by the double. You, now who, cowardly urge you to merge through and think the workers to serve you? The Sonic Marvel, who just dropped the next novel. Worldwide, rapidly, more than Marvel. It's a countless amount of MCs I saved, and them same niggas wanna swindle those gifts I gave.
Moments most sacred. Both species, they lay naked in the tombs of the oasis. Think back on niggas I ate with, spend the day with. Guns we play with, niggas I relate with. We broke bread. I heard through a vine, niggas work for the feds. Sent out secretly to take my head. I laid back and meditate to the words they said. Skipped town for a month in group of dread. Had a friend tell my family I was dead. Returned at the last fall of the autumn leaves. Operate the plan accordingly, in case the feds are recording me. Sign all documents, using forgery, cause just a mere thought of me. I'm like Solomon, spoke bluntly, told the world I'm black and comely. Howled from the grave, hunt me, the smell of death upon me. I dwell in the hills like Gandhi, been in the presence of mad peasants and old kings who sold everything on the quest for God's divine. Slept in caves to get a clear mind, who prayed three times, when the moon lit and when the sun rise. I met dwellers in the desert, talked to shepherds, been in the mouth of many leopards, felt the death kiss of Satan's mistress, walked through vacant districts, performed religious, studied pagan scriptures, through philosophers and physicians, on a cure mission, who hardened their hearts toward the weak, sick, and afflicted, candles lit, gambled with a bitch, who made me love her, when I touch her, saw paws, high claws, bees with sweet honey in their mouth, have bitter stingers at their tail, walked through the chambers of death, take a hold on to hell, embracing her was like embracing the third well.
Out for the Motor City Black Age of Comics this year, November 12th
2016 at Wayne State University at the Student Center. Everyone in Detroit that know about Detroit, they know all about the Student Center. Tonight, my special guest is Mr. Roosevelt Pitt, Jr. This brother has been putting in work over 20 years in comic books, independent. He's also worked with several individuals that I've worked with as well back in the day. He's still working with some of them still today. He's working with Brother Keith and Jones. He's worked with a lot of cats just out here doing things. You can say he's been in the business for 20 years. He founded Amara Entertainment LLC. He's creator of 100 of characters for comic books related properties, and he's also done his own children's books. He's written graphic novels. He's written scripts for his companies and others throughout his 20-year career. He also enjoys speaking about the importance of creativity and the fundamentals of living a healthy lifestyle. He was born in Tabora, North Carolina. Roosevelt attended undergraduate school at North Carolina AT&T, where he has majored in computer science and technology. During those years, he began his first publishing company, UP Comics, where he self-published his first book at the age of 20. The book sold over 10,000 copies. Wow. Other books published by Roosevelt later, such as Purge and Purge, the Purification Agenda, have sold 500,000 copies worldwide. He has been featured in Newsweek, USA Today, The Business, North Carolina, and Entertainment Tonight for his outstanding publishing accomplishments. I'm going to bring him on right now, and we're going to get Roosevelt to tell us all about his accomplishments and everything else as it relates to comics and how he feels about the industry today and how it was back when he first started. Brother Roosevelt, are you there?
I am here, Brother Andre Bass. How you doing, man?
Wonderful, wonderful. How you doing, brother?
Hey, man, I'm doing okay, man. I'm trying to continue to keep the Purge alive in the minds of the new people and new fans that actually some of them wasn't even born when Purge came out. So it's
right,
been sort
right.
of an enjoyable journey for me. I wouldn't say start from scratch with Purge, but I'm definitely introducing him to a new fan base.
Wasn't
around when he first. Yeah, exactly. So it's been a good experience.
Yeah, I see you got some new cats working with the Purge, and those cats are off the chain. They're pretty good with their work.
What are you thinking about the Zahn brothers? Well, the Zahn brothers.
What's that again?
I'm sorry, it's the Zahn brothers. They're the one who actually is doing the majority of the book. They're from India. It's actually twin brothers, believe it or not.
One
of them actually provides the pencils and the inks, and the other twin brother provides the colors and a lot of the, I guess, FX effects and things that you see that gives the page of their vibrancy. So they are a wonderful duo, wonderful, wonderful artists and talent to work with.
That's amazing to be able to make that connect overseas in India. You know, they've heard about the Purge, and they reached out and said, brother, we want to work with you. That's amazing.
Well, you know, I tell you, that's one thing I guess about technology that we didn't have back in the day. You know, you can work with people all across the globe. So what makes it, you know, quite fantastic for me as a creator now, more than it did, you know, years ago, is that we truly can be international now. You know, we don't have to rely on anyone to green light our projects. You know, we have the internet and technology to market, and that's it.
I agree. It's the same here. You know, I work with different cats from overseas and right here in the United States as well. Wherever I get the best quality or whatever for what I'm trying to put into the story, that's what I have to stick with to keep, you know, dreadlocks going in that direction that he's been going in the past 20 years, which is up. And you know how it is. You know, we just go through the ceiling and we just keep going. You know, you've been doing this for over 20 years. You know,
well, I have. It's been many years, but a lot of learning. I've grown a lot since then, my early 20s, and looking at how to express my creativity and to really build a foundation on my purpose, on why I do what I do. To understand that I didn't get here alone, you know, and I agree the Zong Brothers are a wonderful talent, but I never let go of those who helped get me here and are still working with me artistically, specifically.
Right.
As you may know, I'm working with Larry Stroman, a pioneer.
Okay.
And definitely last but not least, you know, Machindo Kumbo, who I know you've worked with on occasion.
Oh yeah. Machindo is the man, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't find a more fluent artist than Machindo, you know. I mean, he covers all the gamut. You know, he's not just a comic book, he's a painter, you know, who does comic books. You know, he's an artist that transcends much. We look at his work. So, you know, he, along with Larry Stroman, is sort of like my foundation, specifically Machindo. He's been with me really from the beginning since Purge debuted back in 93. And he helped really shape how Purge's look has progressed over the years. So, you know, it's just really been a wonderful experience for me over the past 20 years to work with such talent.
Oh yeah. I want to work with Larry Stroman myself. I had him on here for an interview maybe 2-3 months ago, and we were talking about some different things or whatever. And I really like what he was saying. It was a real positive interview. You know, it's good to know that, you know, he's still putting in work or whatever, because a name like that has to stay out there, you know. A name like Machindo has to stay out there. We got to keep them cats working. A name like Roosevelt Pitt, you know, your stories have to be out there, have to stay out there, especially, you know, with what you've been putting in this type of time, 20 years. There's nobody out here that really can compare to that type of time that you've been putting in all these years.
Not as independent. Yeah. That's true.
You only have a few maybe that's been putting in this type of work. Your type of work, I should say. You got Brother Dawu, Guy Sims. They've been putting it in, you know, just as long, if not longer. You know, myself, you know, John Jennings has been putting in some work, you know, maybe past 20 years. You know, a lot of us out here, you know. And that's a plus. We got a lot of new cats just getting out here, too, right now. You know, some of them are really good, and some are, you know, really getting the grasp of what's going on out here. But I want to ask you this question here. What was your earliest inspirations or your present influences that inspired your writing? Or you do writing and just do writing?
I'm sorry?
You do writing and art, or just writing?
Oh. No, I didn't hear you correctly. Clearly, no, I just write, and I don't say it as if it doesn't have value. But when it comes to it, I'm the writer and the publisher,
which is another form of artistry.
Well, it is, you know, and I don't mean to in any form to diminish it. I think each has its value. However, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, we sometimes forget that we actually need each other. Now, there are some people who can do it all. I'm not that guy. So I learned to respect the artist and his contributions, to understand that without his input, my creativity would be solely lacking and wouldn't be complete. And I will get back to your question, but I just want to make this point, is that as a writer, when I approach an artist, I understand from the beginning that we are collaborating on a concept or a character, that at that point, that's a co-created property. Because I can speak as eloquently as I want to about a character, or I can describe him as clearly as I want. But until it's actually drawn and brought to life by an artist, it's not complete. So at that point, I understand that there's a sharing that has to be acknowledged between writer and artist as a co-creator of that property. And so that's something that I think sometimes gets lost in the relationships, and I think that's caused a lot of relationships to falter when that understanding is either ignored or not acknowledged. But to go back and answer your question about, you know,
well,
what,
you know, to,
you know, inspired me.
Before we
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Before we get into the question that you were getting ready to answer, I do agree with you to some degree. You know, but we all know whoever's name is on a dotted line as far as the actual copyrights of a character. We know that belongs to you, so it's not a co-creator thing. I understand co-vision. No, we may can come together 50-50 on that vision. You understand? Because you have to write and direct this person. That's just like saying that a movie star that's in a movie, you know, that's like saying that that's their movie, meaning they're co-producer of the movie, co-director of the movie, when they're just starring in the movie. Of course, they're starring in a movie, and we like to see them in this movie, but we couldn't call them a co-producer, co-director, because, see, a lot of times, a lot of people come along, Roosevelt, and they'll try to, you know, dictate to your story and change what you got going with your story. I've experienced this. You may write something one way, the way you want it to go, and next thing you know, they're trying to change it to another direction. Then you have to terminate the contract, not to be, you know, mean about it or anything like that. But that has to happen. You can't call that person a co-creator unless you've established a very good relationship with this person and you've been working with them for years, like you do have people that you've worked with for years. That's a different story. But the Indian artists that you're working with now, you're not calling them co-creators, are you?
No. I'm not talking about them specifically. I think we're not talking about parallel circumstances. What I'm saying is that
if I let me
just use a relationship that I have that I've had established for years, and I don't think Brother Machine would mind me using him as an example. Now,
no,
he and
no,
I've worked together for 20 plus years or more. Okay, so if I come to him because I recognize his talent, his ability to be able to bring what I have in my head or my idea to a place where it's actually tangible, Andre, I need him to do that. Now, if we agree contractually that I'm going to own the character, okay, that's the difference between giving creative credit, okay? So we're not talking about ownership. We're talking about co-creator credit. Ownership and co-creation.
Okay, now we're clear on it.
You clear? Okay, that's two separate things. So if Machindo says, if I come in and I said, I have an idea, I want to call him, first came to my mind, Sun Man, because I enjoy Sun Man. I was watching, I had
right,
a toy
right, right.
in front of me. Okay? And I said, this is what he does. This is how he looks. I need you to design the character
based on
my description. That's a co-creation. Okay?
Let's get back to something real quick. That's why I had stated earlier, you know, if somebody you've been working with for years, that's a different story. But you're not just going to say that about anybody that's coming on board to draw your storyline. That's what I was getting at.
Right. But again,
I did say that earlier.
Right. You did, and I understood
yeah.
that, and that makes sense.
So that's why I say if you have a relationship with somebody. Right, if you have a relationship with somebody for 20 years, of course you and that person, that's like a brother bond with this character. So, you know, you can look at it that way with that because they're going to be able to capture your vision. You know, whereas somebody that's new on board, it's going to take them a minute to capture the vision, so you can't put them in that category. That's what I was getting at earlier.
I'm with you, and I just have to respect your degree about that aspect of it. And let me say this, and then we can move on. Let's say I meet John, and he's a wonderful artist. I've seen his work on DeviantArt, and I know that he has the acumen and artistic ability to translate my idea to a character. Okay, so I come to him for his assistance. Now, whether I've been working with him for 8 years or 2 months, he has a right as an artist to say, look, I'm doing this for you. You're going to pay me, and let's say it is work for hire, but I want you to give me co-creation credit because I designed and created the look of the character. He has every right to that.
Oh, yeah, nobody's saying that they don't have a right for that because
right.
obviously you're going to give them the credit for that. They're obviously
right,
going to give
what
credit
I mean.
For that.
But ownership
okay.
is a whole different animal. Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm clear. I'm being clear with what I meant about the co-creation process.
Right. Okay.
But
no, I got you because obviously when you do your credits and stuff like that, you're going to put them down as being a designer or whatever, or this person drew it, blah blah blah. You know, this was their. What is that, artistic direction of the story. There's many ways you could put that in there, you know. So certain artists out here, Roosevelt, that goes without saying, you know. You brought up John or whatever. Of course, you're going to give him total credit of what he's doing. Machindo, of course, you're going to give him total credit of what he's doing. Larry Strobin, of course, that's going to be the case. You know, you're going to give everybody that works with you, you're going to give them total credit of what they're doing.
Well, of course.
That,
and again, when we're talking about ownership, then that's something that
ownership.
That artist and myself would discuss and come to agreement on prior to even having a pen, paper, or a pencil, or even a sketch. You know, but again, those are the things that I think.
Well, you already got the ownership to the character, though, right?
Well, sure, of course.
See,
unless you go through the channels and change that up. Well, again, let's say if I want to create a new vision, a villain, for Purge, right out the gate. Well, that's new, never existed before. Well, then, with the artist who I'm working with, I would, understand.
Go to them.
It'll be their right to give them co-create.
Now, that case, you're right. You have to do that. That only makes sense. You know, now, if you're looking at someone like myself, who's an artist and a writer, both or whatever, a lot of times what I do, I'll draw my characters out, blah, 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 send them to where they need to go, the Library of Congress, get everything copyrighted. Now that's all my ownership right off the rip. Then I submit it to the artist, and they do what they do at that point. But I have ownership of the character. But you say, if someone else is developing this character or designing the character, then, you should kind of have a co-ownership with that person. You should work something out with them, I should say.
And that's my only point. I just want to make sure that I was clear on that because I know sometimes people get confused in their relationships with artists or writers. And basically what it boils down to, Andre, is this. At the long short of it is that we need to take care of one another. Especially creators of color when we're working with one another, which ties into your earlier questions. I don't want to get too off track because I know I could talk forever. what inspires me to do what I'm doing and why I write the way I do is simply because I believe, and this is my philosophy as well, as a creator, specifically a black creator, I'm responsible to put forth things that can uplift us as black people and people in general, to challenge the way we think about each other, and also to help reveal certain truths, specifically when it comes to our history, black history, that seems to be swept under the rug or forgotten, that never really is introduced in comic stories, especially with mainstream comics, and also to be able to share it in a way that once we leave, it hopefully creates a new paradigm of thinking. While still woven into the superhero excitement that the genre has represented for years. It doesn't mean it doesn't have to be exciting and high octane action, but at the end of the day, I want to leave my fans with thoughts about improving who we are as people, you know, and to see the best that we have to offer, especially Black people, because we don't see that as often as we should, definitely not in mainstream media, and unfortunately,
right,
sometimes not in comic books. So that's what inspires me, because as a young Black kid, I never could see myself being Superman, because he was white. I could never be as noble. I could never be as powerful, as trustworthy. And that was a problem for me growing up, because I am just as trustworthy. I am just as powerful. I have the potential to be great. So it's my responsibility as a creator to make sure that young Black children, specifically Black males, see that and it's derived from what I present to them, and they feel empowered at the end of the day, so that they can say to themselves, you know what? I can save the day. I can be the hero. I can do it. I can be like Purge and purify the city to make it better. And that's really what it's all about for me, you know. And it doesn't mean I definitely enjoy what I do. I enjoy comics. But at the end of the day, that's my purpose, and that kind of ties into Purge's purpose, which we can talk about a little bit more.
Okay. I'm gonna kind of go into Purge since you bring that up or whatever, and being the purifier, I had a few questions before I got to that. How do you feel about the movies genre Purge that has come out? Basically, is purifying, ethnic purifying, I should say. Your character Purge, he purifies as well. It's kind of like the same kind of concept a little bit. Do you see them like kind of reading your book somewhere in the dark and just all of a sudden come out here with a movie called Purge? Do you see something like that?
Well, not really. Now, to be honest with you, I have not watched any of the movies. I mean, I know pretty much what the movie is about, you know, the Purge and so on. But to answer your question, no, I don't see much similarities in other than the name. And the reason I say this, for those who are not familiar with Purge, again, it debuted back in 1993, and it has gone through a lot of changes over the years. You know, he was and still is a character who purifies the city. That hasn't changed. But really what we're dealing with here is a character that is in a conscious state of purifying himself internally. Because he's a high-tech hero, for one, okay? Mm-hmm. He fights to keep a futuristic city, what I call New Salem, from spiraling into chaos by a scientist who holds the secret to his hidden past, okay? Now, this scientist is the one who actually kidnapped him as a youth, experimented on him, then left him for dead, okay? Mm-hmm. Later, he was adopted by a kind family, and you know, he basically came out of his coma, which was what had happened. They thought he was dead, but he was actually in a coma. Later, he started to develop these abilities and powers, you know. And basically what had happened was he decided years later to use these abilities, okay, to help his futuristic city, not necessarily to fight evil in a sense. He does, but it's not really the purpose. The purpose is to keep the technology within the city in check, okay, to contain it. Now, most people, when they look at Purge, the first comparison, of course, has been Batman. And the difference between the two is quite clear, and it's quite apparent when you read the story, is that, you know, Batman works to or fights to defend Gotham from evil. Purge fights to contain the technology within so it doesn't get out, okay? Because it's so powerful, so much technology is being created. But at the same time, he wants to make sure that the systems that are placed in the world, in the United States, doesn't threaten the city as well. So what he's doing is not only purifying himself because he has a lot of demons that he has to deal with, memories that were lost that he's trying to recapture from his youth, but he also is trying to make sure that the systems that are in place to keep us disenfranchised, that keeps us dependent, he challenges those systems as well, and that's part of his purification agenda also. So his purpose is sort of twofold.
Okay. So he's keeping outside sources from getting access to the resources from within,
exactly.
As well as purifying himself and recollecting his memory and things of that nature. And as far as the bad guys, I take it that he keeps them in check so they will not sell the resources outside.
Well, pretty much, yes. You know, because when you're dealing with your own demons and your past is lost to you, it
right.
mirrors what we deal with as Black people trying to find an identity. You know, it's one of the things that, you know, we always are working to do. All people in real life, really. That's the thing. That's what we're doing is trying to find ourselves, trying to find our purpose in life, trying to develop our identity. But when you're
right.
not able to reconcile your past because it's been either lost or changed or just totally erased for whatever
reason.
Well,
you know, it's funny that you bring
really
that
grasp.
Up because it's funny that you bring that up about having no identity and the past being erased or basically destroyed. They don't want us to identify with our past. We keep running into this problem quite a bit, especially when we use certain terms like, say, Black, or we bring up what has actually happened as far as slavery is concerned.
Sure.
And a lot of people out here do not want us to recognize that past because they feel that it brings forth a hatred towards those that enslaved us, which I don't feel that would be the case myself. If the more you learn about yourself, the better you are and the better they are as well, the more they know about you as well. Because we know a lot of people are here now based off immigrants, things of that nature, so a lot of them, their parents weren't really involved with the actual slave trade, so that's one of the reasons why they want us to forget about it. But I bring that up because it kind of ties into what you were saying as far as, you know, purge, you know, being one that is really in search of his identity, number one, to some degree. He knows who he is, but he has to really find himself. And I kind of equate that to most Blacks / African-American or whatever American, whatever people choose to call themselves here. That's kind of like it ties into that quite a bit. So you think you could like tie a little bit of that into your story as well, or have you done that?
Well, I have done that. I mean, that's what's happening now throughout the story arc, is that Purge is realizing that a large part of his history or his past has been hidden from him. So he's on a journey to reclaim it, because by knowing your past and who you are and where you come from allows you to truly embrace the future, okay, in a way that you can avoid maybe certain mistakes. What's the old saying? You know, when we are not aware of our history, we are doomed to repeat it, to the mistakes of the past and
right.
so on. So this is a story that chronicles his journey concerning that. While taking on the mantle of hero to protect the city, that he actually has a lot of influence because he's a multi-billionaire. He's a technological genius. And what I didn't really get into, because I want to not give so much away, but
right.
the experiment that he was involved with gave him the ability to interface with computers. Okay? And it was the same experiment that now he has turned inwardly and using it to recapture his memory that has been locked away in his mind, you see.
Wow, that's dope right there.
But what's cool about it is that, think about it, when you deal with the unknown, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
especially when you deal with the past, that may reveal, I should say, something horrid. You know, no one wants to talk about slavery because it was horrible. No one wants to talk about the Tuskegee experiment on black men or the Manhattan Project because it was terrible. Right. When you are putting nuclear isotopes into black humans to see how it affects them, or expose them to radiation to see how that affects them, okay?
Right.
That's a horrible time in history, okay? But you know what? We need to know about it.
But it's a history that we need to know about as a whole.
We need to know
instead of, you know, us being cut off from it. I wish we just had a way of tying in the technology where we could just, you know, become as powerful as a purge. You know what I mean?
Well,
I like
that's
concept.
The point, you know. You know, because we have to be able to face it, acknowledge it, and then hopefully grow because of it. So that's sort of what is woven into the story throughout the next six issues is what I've written already for this particular arc as we reintroduce Purge and his new direction. And let me share a little bit about that, too. What new direction means for those who may not be aware or understand the new direction is not just a title. It's really about his frame of mind, in which Purge in the beginning, when he first debuted, was clearly there to cleanse the city, okay? But the new direction, he embarks on, again, an eternal cleansing, okay, as well as embracing technology in a way that he masters it. In other words, who makes the man? The technology, or does the man make the technology, or does technology make the man? And that's a constant struggle that he had to grasp. So his new direction is really a new way of thinking for him in order to help his city not only be safe, but to grow into a safe haven for those people that live within it, and to be ready for any threat that comes from any direction, and be able to deal with it, to be able to conquer it, and to keep everyone within New Salem safe, but not only on a physical level, of course, but a mental and emotional level. And that takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of clearly understanding of self, and that's what he's dealing with now.
That's good.
Throughout the story arc.
Purge, man, Purge, I'm just saying, you know, I'm so excited to see, you know, that you're taking him in a new direction, and he's been around so long, you know, it's a staple character, you know, in the black comic book industry. You know,
well, you know, he was definitely one of the first out there, along with Brother Man. There was Electro X by Machindo Kumba, Sector Knots.
Right.
You know, there were so many out there who came out and debuted during the Black Age of Comics. And one thing I can say, and this goes out to you as well, you know, this is to say that what we have done is extraordinary, simply because we did it without corporate backing.
Right.
In other words, we're all self-made men, and that is something, Andre, to be celebrated. You know, that's something that we need to celebrate, because we don't as much as we should. Sometimes we put a lot more stock in those creators, artists, or writers we're working for, you know, the mainstream companies. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but they are no better than you and I or Machindo. Okay?
Right, that's been proven time and time again.
Well, sure. Because, you know, the difference is that you and I, and I can definitely, and I know I keep speaking about Machindo because he's my good friend, and I've watched him grow throughout the years, and he, as well as you and I and others like Dawood, and don't need a Marvel or DC to validate us. We don't need that.
And we've already proven
that. We don't have to say I work for Marvel and DC to be looked at as being successful, you see, because at the end of the day, what I appreciate and I feel passionate about, I feel proud about, brother, is that at the end of the day, I'll know that once I'm dead and gone and passed on and ascended. Purge is left for my kids and their kids and so on. There's a legacy there. I can work for Marvel in D.C. for 20-plus years and never be able to leave them Marvel in D.C.
Never can't
life.
Leave anything. But just the fact that you was an artist or writer for Marvel
right.
D.C.
But,
and even that'll fade out after a while.
Well, of course, I have no stock in Spider-Man. I have no stock in
right.
that I can leave them in Superman. That doesn't mean
right.
that, you know, it's bad to work for DC Marvel. No, of course not. But that's not my purpose. And those who feel that they are better because they work for mainstream, I think they need to look again and see who truly has the power and the prestige
right.
of those like you, myself, and Machindo, who don't need that to be relevant. And
you know,
I
it seems to be
that.
That's good you mentioned that because everything that you just said is so true. None of that is all that's good, valid information about certain artists and creators like myself, you, Machindo, Dawu. You know, we're already validated. You know, we're validated by the fan reaction. You know, when we go to the different shows, even if we went to a mainstream show or whatever, you'll find in pockets people that are familiar with those names, Andre Vance, Roosevelt Pitt, Shindo, Dawu, they're familiar with those names. They're just eager to give their work because they've heard so much about these guys. You know, and the thing is, that's being validated without, like you said, mainstream stamp of approval. Marvel, DC, Image, whoever. We obviously don't need their stamp of approval. But we're able to do what we do because of the fact that the work is good. It speaks for itself.
Well, exactly.
And it's not anything corny, cheesy. And that's one of the problems that we may be running into with some of the newer creators of color. I think a lot of them are patterning themselves after Marvel, DC, as far as their storylines and things of that nature. I'm speaking as a writer. And a lot of it end up becoming cheesy. You know, it's good to see you out here. Not you per se, but it's good to see you out here, obviously. But the younger cats that are coming up, it's good to see them out there. But they have to come up with something of substance, like, your story behind Purge is really intricate and deep. How many young cats do you think can come up with a story that deep like that?
Well, I'll be honest with you. There are a lot out there who are coming up with wonderful concepts.
Okay.
The Skeegee Ayers creators, Greg Burnham, Marcus Williams, wonderful young cats. I spoke to Greg Burnham on the phone not too long ago. I mean, the guy is phenomenal. He actually gave me advice on my Kickstarter campaign. So you never grow too old to learn. But at the same time, I think what happens is that some creators are so engrossed in mainstream Marvel in DC, and I speak from experience because I grew up on it as well, that we end up sometimes by accident making derivatives of their characters. And
right.
when you do that, you're always going to put yourself at a disadvantage because you're not creating from in my opinion, you're not creating from a place of realness. You are creating from a place of comfort.
A copycat.
Of what you've already
Let's
seen
do
out.
A copycat.
Exactly. You know.
You're copying off of a copycat.
Right. Right. So I think that when we look at where we should derive our creativity from, specifically, again, as black people, Africa is there. So much rich history. And I'm talking beyond Asia.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got so many
we got rich history
African
here as well.
Religions, gods, mythological deities. And, yes, you're correct, definitely here as well. We got so much that we have done here historically that we can
right.
pull from, which is why I use the again, back to what I said earlier about Purge's origin, you know, him being having experimented on. Well, that's definitely from what I've read and research dealing with the Tuskegee experiments and so on. Tulsa, the riot in Tulsa, where, you know, a huge black community was destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
A rich community, okay? Some of that is woven into Purge's story arc.
So you basically try to, it's not meaning to cut you off, but you basically intertwine a lot of the different historical aspects of our history rather into Purge, or you have different characters that you put the different forms of history into them.
Sure. I mean,
I
think it's
like important. For me, for instance, I don't put everything in dreadlocks as far as history is concerned. We all know dreadlocks is comedic based. Then I have other characters that I may infuse other aspects of the culture within those characters, you know, not out of Egypt, but out of other areas of our culture.
Sure.
So that way, you know, it's not over, for me, it's not over convoluted in one character. You know, then you'll know exactly what direction he's coming from, or who he is, what he's about, what she's about, and things of that nature. She's not another version of dreadlocks, so it's kind of hard for me, myself, to put a lot of our history into one character like that. And I see that you're saying that you put that in Purge or whatever.
Well, not Purge is not the, I guess, focal part of explaining or expressing all the historical aspects that I will be utilizing in my story. Kind of filter that out through the characters. That's why we have character development, you know. And also, again, I prefer to collaborate. And I believe that it does take more than one head to truly make it work. You know, we don't live on an island, as it's been said. So I work with C.R. Ward. He's a wonderful writer. He's actually have scripted some of the stories that are forthcoming. Okay, and then Keithan Jones, of course, you know Keithan of Kid Comics,
the
owner.
He's good. I like him.
You know, he working with him has been a blessing. You know, he has a certain work ethic that I admire, but he also has a way of expressing his thoughts when he's really trying to build a story artistically as well as dialogue. So there's a lot there that I'm learning from him as this process continues. So no doubt, you know, to all your listeners, you know, the Purge storyline is going to be, it is on point. It's going to be captivating. It's going to be fluid. And, of course, working with the artists that I have and that I'm blessed to work with, it's going to be visually stunning, as you probably have seen already.
Right. I've seen it. Me and Keithan, we reached out to one another. Him and I are supposed to be working on something as it relates to dreadlocks as well.
Oh, excellent.
I don't know if you're familiar with Dion Floyd. He's getting a story together right now that features dreadlocks or whatever. I'm working with different people as well as far as other writers and different creators as far as storylines are concerned. So I understand exactly what you're saying. One man can't, you know, live on an island by himself and get it done. It's just all about, you know, what's coming to the table, whatever, when it comes to the table, whether we agree with it or not.
Well, we have tremendous talent among us, and I believe that together we can conquer.
We have to keep those egos, that pride thing. That the ego and pride is destroying a lot of cats that's out here doing the comics, whether they're just an artist or a writer or a co-creator or whatever. A lot of times our ego and pride just, you know, doesn't allow us to do what we can do as a people, as a whole, especially when it comes to, you know, as we're talking about comics, whatever, black comics, you know, with this right here, so many of us that are artists out here, it's hard for some of us to get past our ego. I think if we get past that, we can accomplish a whole lot.
Well, I can only say from my own experience and what I'm actually experiencing now, you know, that's true. You know, once we can pull together, you know, great things can happen. But sometimes it takes a little bit of learning, a little bit of staying in your own lane. Okay, I'm not a graphic designer, so I shouldn't tell the graphic designer what he's doing is wrong. I can tell him that this is not exactly what I envision, but I let him do him, or let her do her, and have a level of trust that allows that person to really shine. It doesn't mean that we can't come back and say, okay, you know, this is not what I wanted. Let's look at doing it this way and share a suggestion. But in the day, you know, I understand that there's certain aspects of graphic design that I'm not going to understand because I haven't been trained. And to be able to acknowledge that and not allow your pride to disrupt the creative process.
Right.
So that's
in a case
something
like that
I have to grow into.
In a case like that, you know, the creative, once they come on board, you know, as far as the artist is concerned, it's not much you could say, like you pointed out, because they're bringing your vision to light, and they may have expanded on your vision and just took it to a whole nother level that's just unattainable by most people. That I understand, you know, let them do them. That's that type of artist out there. But then you have those that you do have to go in and correct quite a bit.
Well, sure.
I've worked with several artists like that I've had to go and just, I don't like this, I don't like this, scratch that. But then we have those that are like miracles or whatever. Their art glides on water. You know, we spoke on Machendo earlier. That's one of them. Stroke. His work is just, you know, their work is just, it's nothing you say to them type of guys. Because their art is
about good communication. And I've been called a follow-up king, you know. So if I see something, I'm going to follow up with and say, hey, you know, Andre, I got it. Let's talk about it because it's something I don't understand or something that I thought that we had discussed and it didn't come out the way I remember us going over, you know, and we just make sure that there's clarity.
Right.
However, you know, when I look at what's happening now, and I'm quite happy and proud, you know, with the campaign, the Kickstarter campaign doing as well as it did in 2 days to half our goal in a matter of two days. And that's not because I was out there doing it by myself. Okay.
Right. No, I agree.
That's what I mean. You know, we came together, you know, and I had to do my part. Others did their part. I may be the head, but there's legs and arms and fingers that are part of this process that were required in order to bring us Perch to where it's at today. Excuse me.
I got to put my donation to it as well.
Well, please do. You know, I appreciate the support, my brother.
Then plus I'm gonna. I don't know if I shared it already, but I think I did. But if not, I'll be sharing that as well before before this week is out. I'm gonna get it on my Motor Black Age of Comics page. You know, now we got so many questions. You know, me and you can go all day or whatever as far as talking is concerned, and that's cool. I like that. But, you know, I want to ask you a couple of more questions.
Sure, please, go ahead.
You know, like, we pride ourselves on the title nerd or whatever. Would you place yourself in that title or not?
Not really. I've never, you know, I've been called a nerd, but I never accepted that as being a moniker for me. But it's not something that I look at as being demeaning either, okay? I never look at myself and say, hey, you know, I'm a nerd. I see myself as being a lover of creativity, regardless of what form it comes in, artistically or either written, you know. So to me, when I hear nerd, that's usually a term that is endeared by, our white brethren. Okay, and then we take on black nerd to represent us. And
but
to
you
me,
notice I didn't say
not,
black on that.
Right, right. So to me, it's just, you know, it's just my honest opinion, you know. I don't like to take on someone else's name and then call it my own. That's just me.
No.
So I call myself creator.
Okay. Now, I bring that up is the reason why I bring it up is because in today's time, it has been a big, quote-unquote, nerd explosion, geek explosion. And if you look on Facebook, everything is black nerd, black geek, or whatever, as far as these different pages. But that goes to what you were saying or whatever. Why do I have to steal someone else's title and make myself that? And I agree with that. But I use just that word by itself because this explosion now, everyone seems to be into, you know, Marvel, DC, and the movies that they put out, and this has taken us to a whole nother level of thinking when it comes to reading comics or looking at them on screen. And now everyone has a very strong fact on every movie they see that will make them the ultimate nerd. And it takes me to my next question with you is, how do you feel about the different mainstream movie or mainstream characters in the big screen? You know, this is what's pushing people into being these ultimate nerds, which you're not. But how do you feel about those movies, though? Just I'm asking that anyway.
Well, on an entertainment level, I enjoy them. Okay, for instance, Avengers. Let's use that one. Okay, I mean the cinematography is on point. The writing is excellent. Okay. So I learned a lot from watching the movies and how they film, again, the writing. So I take some of that back when I'm writing and when I'm thinking about panels and how I want to describe them, the angles, the tonality that is used when the actors are speaking and what extra inflection in their voice. I mean, you know, you really can get deep with it, you know, or I do when I'm writing.
Right.
And when I'm trying to be inspired by what I'm seeing and use what I'm seeing to help my writing improve and how I visualize scenes, okay? So that aspect of it is wonderful for me, okay? What I do have an issue with is, again, the ongoing narrative when it comes to black folk and how we're represented, okay?
Right.
When you look at Avengers, you have a almost drew a blank there. Nick, okay? Nick Fury. Wow, can't believe I forgot that. Nick Fury, okay? He's black. He has, you know, this authoritative position, but really no one listens to him.
Right. You know, really. He doesn't have any position.
Okay. You know, no one listens to him. And, of course, he has no powers, you know. So that's on tack that on top of it, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a problem. Same movie, Avengers, with War Machine. You know, one, doesn't get much screen time, and two, when do you really see him saving the day?
Never.
Okay. That's my point. So it's the same type of issue throughout all these movies that I see, you know, that they continue to build this narrative where again, this is what I see, this is, again, what I see as truth, is that it diminishes our value. How do I know this? Let's switch to the comic book. Civil War II. Who did they kill? War Machine. Okay? The first Civil War, they killed Giant Man. So it's continually being shown to us and that we don't matter.
Right, on a consistent basis. One good thing about what you were saying is you went to see it as a creative person, and that's why you were able to pull all of that out of it. Now, a person that's a complete quote-unquote nerd, I should say, will go there and wouldn't acknowledge any of that, which you just said. It would just be the ultimate movie.
Well, I can speak for every nerd because everyone is different. I would say that most nerds who watch the movie watch it for entertainment value and to compare it to what they've read in the comic books. Any type of political or cultural discrepancies, or looking at the deeper narrative, or kind of dissecting it beyond entertainment, I'm guessing probably not as much that they would do that.
Right, and that's true.
So that's my opinion on it, and from what I have seen by speaking with certain people who consider themselves or coin themselves as nerds.
That's a valid point that you bring to the Chronicles of the Revolutionary Nerd.
Okay.
That's the name of the show, y'all.
right, exactly.
But it's called that for a reason, because I don't see things the same way that the average nerd sees things. I consider myself a nerd to some degree because of the way I really geek out on certain movies. Avengers, you know, like I'm a geek out on Doctor Strange and things of that nature. And I'm really excited about that. But I look at it as from a different perspective as far as the movies are concerned. Like you brought the creative aspect of it and the different angles or how they diminish what we mean in these movies or whatever as a race within these movies. You know, it's like, once again, it's nothing. We mean nothing for the most part. It's good to have our presence there, but it diminishes once the movie gets to the middle. Once it gets to about an hour and 10 minutes, it's over for us.
Well, I'll interject this, and I'll dare say this. Again, I believe it's true. I'm going to kind of pull back on my comment. Not totally, but there are nerds, black nerds, that recognize those issues that I just spoke of.
Right.
But since they are in the company of white nerds or those that they are comfortable with, they most likely will not bring it up because they feel that it will cause division or it will cause or just disrupt things or rock the boat. And to me, that's an issue because if you're seeing something that could be considered one, demeaning or contrary to truth when it comes to black folks, or you see the clear wrongdoing or misrepresentation, I should say, and you don't speak on it. To me, I believe you've lost respect already anyway by not saying anything.
Exactly, I agree with that.
You know, no, it doesn't mean that you didn't enjoy the movie. It doesn't mean that you know it has to be a an argument ensue. No, I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But if there's a scene that you know and you recognize and acknowledge that is totally misrepresentation, you know, a black person or an Asian person or what have you, why not say, hey, this is foul? I like the movie.
Right.
This part,
that
shouldn't have happened. That shouldn't have happened. And I think sometimes some nerds are reluctant to do that because of fear of being alienated. And to me, there's never been an issue. There's never been an issue.
Issue here as well. You know. Now, let me ask you this question. What do you feel your biggest obstacle has been as an indie creator? And, you know, what did you do to overcome these different obstacles?
Well, I think for me it's clear. Financial. It's difficult doing it on your own, but it's very much rewarding. I wouldn't change a thing. But financing, you know, publishing comic books is not an easy feat. And you have to be willing to do your due diligence, understand it, be aware of it, be able to raise funding, which I have on numerous occasions, which I'm doing now, of course, with the Kickstarter. But before there was a Kickstarter, I went to investors, whether it was a family friend or business associate, you know, and I was able to get it done. You know, I think we sold half a million, or close to a million copies of our books during my Purge Aeneas days in 93. And we had no Marvel or DC to bankroll it. Okay? You know, I did that. But I didn't do it half-cocked. I went into it clear, with knowledge, with business knowledge under my belt, understanding the supply and demand, economics 101. I went to the classes. I did what I had to do to make sure that I was clear, not that I just understood the business aspect of it, but to be sure that I wanted to do it. Because sometimes we go into things not understanding or not clearly acknowledging the work involved. And when I say the work, I'm not talking about just making the book, but dealing with obstacles such as other people, family members who don't see the vision, having to let go certain people because they are not really supporting because you're growing. I mean, it's so much involved than just having it written and drawn. You have to understand the business and how that affects your personal life as well as your other business relationships. So, I mean, all of
I agree with that.
Took time and effort to do.
No. I agree with everything that you said right there, because in order to do this, you have to perfect the craft. And the way we perfect craft as writers, or we say businessmen as well, we have to study the craft of business, like you say, economics 101. You go right through it, publishing, things of that nature. You got to learn more about publishing. Now, the one thing that you did leave out as far as obstacles are concerned, what do you think it was? I'm going to ask you that question. That one thing you left out, which is our biggest obstacle, that's for all of us, including myself, everybody.
Well, I think the biggest obstacle, I mean, other obstacles I could think of, I'm not sure where you're heading, but it has to be myself. I have to be willing to
understand that. You're doing your part.
Well, what I mean by that is that sometimes we can be, we can self-destruct, Andre, what I'm saying, because there are times that we have to be able to be willing to say, okay, this is not my thing. What I mean by that, there are some parts of doing the publishing that I had to get help with. And that sometimes can be a problem with us because sometimes we feel that we don't want to let go of the control. Okay?
Right.
And that's not what we're doing. If I ask you to help me write a story, because maybe I'm not as good a writer as I think I am. So I read your work and I'm like, my God, this stuff is fluid. I'm not even in his level. Or I'm not even in a Machinho's level. I look at his writing and his artwork is extraordinary. But man, he can also write. He's eloquent. The way that he puts words together and phrases. Wow. Now, either I can say, whatever. He's all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I can acknowledge his acumen and say, okay, I need to learn from him. So sometimes we need to stop and recognize where our skill set is and where we need to improve. And by not doing that, to me, that can be an obstacle. But go ahead. That was just my point.
That's a real good obstacle there. That's a real good obstacle. But the biggest one for us as a whole, you know, as far as all the brothers is out here and the sisters is out here doing black comics, is distribution.
Okay. I agree with that.
I say that because of, you know, because you named everything. You even brought up the imploding part, which is true because I've imploded myself several times. You know what I mean? But then we build, destroy, build. You brought up the financing, the studying of the business. All those are obstacles that we could, you know, conquer. We can get over those obstacles. But the one that we seem to be running into as a whole, yourself, myself, you know, no matter how much financing we get, is distribution. And it's like, I don't see enough of us in comic book stores. I hit different comic book stores all the time. I hit some in Detroit, you know, because, you know, I put on the Motor City Black Age of Comics right here in Detroit, so I have to go to the different stores and see what's going on, talk to the guys that own them. But I don't see enough of our comics in these stores at all. And I ask these comic book owners, you know, why you don't carry such and such book, or have you ever heard of this book? They'll be like, oh, no, I never heard of that. But most of the comic book stores are owned by who?
In this area,
they're owned by Caucasians.
Majority of white owners, right.
But with that being said, see, distribution affects us in several ways, because if you're looking at really getting our books out to the masses, whether they're black, white, Hispanic, whatever, they have to be distributed to the different stores, the outlets. Have to be.
I hear you, and I can definitely agree with it in part. But I think sometimes we may just have to not think outside the box, as they say. But I think we need to build a new box. And what I'm saying is
we've already started.
You know, distribution. If I have my site, if I have my website, if I'm utilizing Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media outlets in the best way possible, and I'm continuing to learn and grow my knowledge and my ability to utilize it, I give them all to the distribution center. They come to me.
Yeah.
I order them, and they
send
them out. You know, what I'm saying is that sometimes we pitching to ourselves to the point where we are so dependent on the store. There's nothing wrong with being in the stores. But I like to have as much control as I can over my product. So if I can promote myself and have them come to me and say, hey, we want your book. How can we get it? Here's my PayPal information, or here's my website. Click, and I'll ship it to you. Okay? When you have Amazon, now we have the ability to do electronic books, e-books, and so on. I think distribution is not a big elephant to eat as it used to be. I think we just need to build a different box. Not saying we avoid distribution to stores altogether, but what if we really work at bringing people to us? And like I said earlier in the part of our conversation, is that with the internet, we're international now. I had opportunity to look at my campaign just to see who were pledging, and that someone plays in Europe. In Europe, okay? How did that happen? Okay, it wasn't because of diamond distribution.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that.
You know, it's because of people like yourself who were sharing the Kickstarter, and others who were sharing the Kickstarter, that it's getting distributed
now,
worldwide.
What you're saying is 100% true. You know, because I know that with my website, you know, I've had UrbanStyleComics.com forever since we could barely even do a website back in 95,
right.
I think, 96, when I had nothing
right.
on the page. But with that being said, you know, it helps with social media, helps that quite a bit as far as me getting the books to people in different areas like, you know, Brazil, Spain, India, Japan, Australia, Alabama, Mississippi, you know, so forth. That's
right.
good. But the other 50% that I want to sell, I would like them to be in the different bookstores as well.
Sure.
Everybody isn't some people are still into tangible books more so than the digital books. You know,
right.
Everybody won't have, will not, they won't necessarily have access to the internet or website to order from UrbanStyleComics.com. But
right.
they do have the ability to go to the store a mile away or things of that nature. That's just mm-hmm. one of the things I think as far as our obstacles are concerned. And, you know, we are thinking outside of the box because you wouldn't have been around as long as you are. Myself, there's a few of us that are thinking outside of the box. We have new cats coming along now that are thinking outside of the box, coming in with their ideas. And then we got some that still that think with older ideas that don't work today. But needless to say, we do have new people out there that are putting it down and guiding us older heads. You know,
well,
and we're
know,
also guiding them as well. So,
well, not to again do our shameless plug with the title A New Direction, but I had to take a new direction in how I just deal with the internet altogether. I mean, again, you know, I'm old school. So social media wasn't something that I embraced with love. It was
right,
hard for
right.
me, you know, because I'm used to what we're right. doing, talking on the phone or either face-to-face.
Exactly.
Texting was hard for me to really get into and to understand. However, you know, you adapt or you get left behind. It's simple.
Correct.
And now I'm a lot more fluent in the area of social media and how to communicate. And now I'm actually able to get even more things done on my own. So I guess my point is that, you know, we just have to continue to evolve in the way we think and the way we interact and to learn to take the good and utilize it and the bad to toss it aside, you know. So it's been good, man. It's been good, and I'm just happy that I'm still here. I'm still going to stay here and do what I do and do it with love and conviction and compassion.
And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, you're still around, because of that. Well, you just named off all three of them: conviction, passion, and you have love for your comics. And I think that's the big thing. You have to have that passion. You got to have the love for it in order to keep striving. You know, that's the only way. Now, what I want you to do, because we have like maybe 11 minutes left, I still have a few more questions. But before we get to near the end, I want you to tell everyone about your Kickstarter campaign and tell them about your website and how to get access to Purge,
right.
as well as your children's book. We didn't even get into your children's book yet.
Well, maybe the next podcast interview we can do that. Well, the Kickstarter campaign is Purge, Past Unspoken, A New Direction. You can just go to Kickstarter and pledge. What I'm wanting to raise is $2,500 for the printing of the first issue. The book is done. And we're waiting now for it to be accepted or approved, I guess is the correct term, by Amazon and Comixology so that we can offer it as a digital download. So that's in the process. But we thought, why not raise funding for printing so you can have that hard copy, as you said, that a lot of people want. So that's where we are now. I'm happy to say, looking at the campaign, we are close to half of our goal. So
good,
I want to say to all those who are listening, who have helped, thank you. We've still got a ways to go, but being that we are only 2 days into it, that's phenomenal, and I couldn't be happier how well we're doing, you know. So, but the book, for those who maybe just listening in, the artists on the book are the Zong brothers, who we spoke about. Bishindo Kuma and Larry Stroman are responsible for the flashbacks story or sequence of pages in the beginning of the book. And then we have Keaton Jones of Kid Comics, who provided the Purge preview book. And that ties into the website that you, which is www.kid-comics.com. If you go to kid-comics.com, you can read the preview that he illustrated. Wonderful, wonderful book production. And the Zong brothers, can't speak enough about them. They actually colored that book as well.
Okay.
And we also have Vince White. And some may be aware of him. He has a wonderful book called Willpower.
Willpower,
I want to look
right.
him up.
He was on here a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact.
Okay, all right. Well, he's a wonderful talent, wonderful writer as well.
Oh, yeah.
He's responsible for the lettering and the layout of the book. So he's a wonderful talent. And like I said, great
oh, yeah.
group of people. Some of them are old dudes who've been around for a while. Some are new, but we're able to come together and make this part of the New Direction, a book that people will be talking about for a while.
Now, what I want to see, I want to thank you for that information that you just handed out to everyone. But I'm going to get into something real quick.
Okay.
Vince White.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a wonderful project with Willpower. And we were talking, we need to get an alternate universe going, well, which he has, Powerverse. Did you make Purge a part of the Powerverse?
Well, Purge is not a part of the Powerverse, but he is part of the Godhead project that you are also a part of. It's a huge project that's in the making. I'm just going to say to all who's listening, look out for it. It's going to be great. Vince is spearheading it. He's doing all of the art, providing all of the art for it. But I know that Purge is going to have a part. I know that Dreadlocks is in it. I've seen the pages.
Dreadlocks is going to have a part, right.
So it's off the chain. So definitely look for that. I'll give a shout-out to my good brother, Machindo, as well as we end this. He has a Dynasty of the Magi game that's coming out, stock full of his wonderful imagery. And, of course, Chris Ward, he's a fellow writer who I mentioned earlier. He goes by his moniker C.R. Ward, but he has a wonderful book called Vegas Baby, so look out for that. And, of course, last but not least, hope I'm not forgetting anybody, Keith Jones and Power Knights. He actually just finished his campaign and was very successful. So look out for that. Kid Comics is going to be powerful. It already is powerful.
Yes, it is.
Wonderful things happening with us. And so look for that also. So we got a lot of great things happening, man. I'm excited.
Great. Yeah, because I need to get Machindo on my show one day. You know, when his schedule isn't as busy as it is.
Well, do that. I mean, the brother.
We've already talked about it. I think once this con season is over for him, he's going to let me know what's a good time for him. Then we're going to take it from there.
Well, definitely he's insightful. He's very insightful, very knowledgeable about the industry and
just
relationships. In general. So definitely when you have him on, let me know. I definitely want to listen in.
Yeah, he's most definitely a good brother on all angles, that's for sure. I will say that. Let me see. Now, next week, you know, we're going to have Brother Joseph R. Wheeler on here, the third from Onyx Kai and the Now World Order. Brother Yams. You know, he put the Onyx Con on in Atlanta. Are you going to make it there?
Want me to make it there, and I know I've been wanting to make it to your convention as well, and I've just kind of held off until I have this Purge project done, and I have actually a tangible product in my hand, which is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to continue the kids' tour. I've started slowly but surely over the past few months, and as this thing continues to reach its conclusion, my Kickstarter campaign, that is, I'm planning to actually visit your con and others to continue to promote, and then hopefully parlay that into an animation project for Purge, which is actually part of one of our stretch goals.
I can see it being animated.
If we reach $8,000, I'll be able to produce a 30-second to a minute animated short for Purge. And if you visit the Kickstarter page, I actually placed a sample there. You can check it out.
Oh, okay. I'm going to check it out. You know, I've seen it. I've already been through all your everything that you have or you're putting out.
There's certain people that I follow. Okay, all right.
You know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
You know, I don't have a problem with stating that or saying that. I don't follow everybody as far as their creatives is concerned. But it's some, you know, I've been following Purge for a while, so, you know, and I've been looking forward to seeing, you know, what Brother Keithan was bringing to the table with Purge, because me and him spoke on it a while back. He didn't go into any details, but I knew it was going to be hot, whatever it was.
Well, no doubt. A lot of good things in store.
Very talented,
brother. On all fronts, kid. So just keep a lookout for it.
Yeah.
It's going to be stellar.
I can see that. Now, you got any words for those that are trying to get into the craft? You got any words of advice to them?
If I had to get advice, I would say put in your due diligence. You know, talk to those who've done it and done it successfully. Because we have a lot of keyboard warriors out there and some trolls who will say that you're doing something wrong when, in fact, they have never got out of the starting gate.
Right.
Because when you base your actions on just opinions and not knowledge, you are doomed to fail. And there's nothing wrong with failure as long as you can learn from it as what not to do, okay? However, at the same time, do the work and put in the work to build your craft, to improve and hone your craft, and to be willing to take advice or constructive criticism from those who have done it and done it well. I think if you have that frame of mind, success isn't far behind.
All right, Roosevelt, I want to thank you again for coming on the show tonight, and it will be a part two on there because I know you have a lot to say. And we really have to get into the children's books, you know what I mean? We have to find out more about that as well. Once again, I want to thank you for coming on board tonight. And good luck on your project.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. Good night.
Beloved, we gather here to celebrate life. Peace to be found in my wife. May I never depart, I reach deep in my heart, pull out every foul thing I've done, put my eyes browse upon my son, remember y'all the one, so listen, y'all the third part, which is the best part, so when you get out in the world, the game of chess starts, remember concentrate before you make a move, deal with the truth in your square, remember God is in you, so you don't have to search outside the earth, just go inside this verse, plant the seeds in your mind, watch it grow high as a turf, just look around. Remember, you are the church, and so look at life. Where would it take us? Into the life that's stronger, don't break up. Band together, strength and unity. Preach stronger, live long, not your eulogy. Look at life. Where would it take us? Into the life that's stronger, don't break up. Band together, strength and unity. Preach stronger, live long, not your eulogy. Victory is yours if you lead a course. Endure, make sure you know what your end is for. Remember, every seed is pure. Military wants you, the cemetery I talk to, if you let it, help you escape the hands of the medic, perfection, in this message, you're my sons, my reflection, it is a deep lesson, if you keep stressing, it bring about a deep depression, the only answer.